Welcome to Woven in the Body, a podcast dedicated to unlocking the stories held within our bodies and awakening a new paradigm of consciousness. I'm your host, Christiana Dyckman, a therapist, spiritualist, mother, wife, and an Aries passionate about shifting humanity's perception of who we truly are and what we're capable of achieving. We provide mentorship for professionals in the fields of pre and perinatal psychology, coaching, and the somatic healing arts. To explore the full range of our offerings, including classes, retreats, and events, visit us at www.theflowerofliffoundation.com. Don't miss out on our upcoming events and bonus content. Sign up for our newsletter on our website. Now, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to episode 2 of Woven in the Body, where we explore the deeper consciousness woven into our physical and spiritual experiences. In this episode, Ovi and I are going to delve into how your own personal birth is a key to unlocking deeper meaning in your life. It's really a threshold, if you will, to gain crucial insights into who you really are and what spirituality is to you, and where it may be lost, or where it got forgotten along your journey of this so-called life. And this discussion that Ovi and I are going to host, we hope that it inspires you to discover pieces of yourself that may be buried underneath disillusionment, that come from just the challenges that you have to experience day in and day out, and especially during this particular time in our history. If you look outside your window, it's getting pretty scary out there, so I know a lot of people are navigating a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and we just want to acknowledge that this topic that we're going to talk about, birth, isn't just for women or parents-to-be or somebody who's a child caretaker. This applies to all of us. It is initiation. We've all gone through birth to get here on Earth. And what neuroscience has really shown us in the last 50 years is that birth sets the stage for your entire neurophysiology. Everything that you experience in your life starts in this 0 to 3 time frame. And if we can kind of uncover this and bring it to the present moment, maybe things that are buried in our subconscious mind, this is how we can learn more about who we are, what we came here to do, what our story was that set our beliefs and our perceptions that we may have to overcome or navigate in new ways. We're really hoping to invite anybody who's seeking something better or something more for themselves to listen in so you can gain more clarity on how you can create impactful change in your life by exploring your birth. I guess it's really a challenge for those who are like, birth? What? Why would my birth matter? I don't remember my birth. My parents never really talked about my birth, or, you know, we all have this kind of dismissal of our birth story once we've become adults. And I just want to invite you to consider thinking about your birth and maybe even asking your parents or caretakers, whoever, if you have that accessibility, ask more details about your birth or use this podcast to stimulate memories so that you can go a little bit deeper and unlock some hidden truths about yourself that are woven in your body. So, welcome.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Christiana, and to continue building on what we've been exploring. So, Christiana and I are here together today to inspire you to take a walk with us down memory lane. It's an exploration of what is broken around birth in today's age, and how it's a really important key to unlocking your greatest potential and really falling in love with yourself and even reconnecting with your purpose, why you came here. So this episode is a glimpse into some upcoming workshops and retreats that we're offering this spring and summer. And they're deep dives into how this world got so upside down and what you can do to throw off the old ways of thinking to really pivot and embark on your most exciting life. So we will have details in the show notes of this workshop that help you restore connection with the deepest parts of yourself that you may not even know you disconnected from, just due to the nature of your earliest experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started. I'm so excited, Christiana.
Thanks, Abby.
Can you speak to us about why your birth matters and how it plays a role in shaping how you view the world?
Oh, wow. Big question, but absolutely. And it's, I love it because birth is really the foundation of the flower of life foundation and the name, right? And the symbol that we even have in our logo. But birth by design, it offers an unparalleled opportunity for awakening. Yet within our contemporary westernized frameworks, the spiritual dimension of birth has largely been eclipsed by a more materialistic or patriarchal paradigm, one that tends to prioritize the physical aspects of survival while neglecting the metaphysical truths of embodiment. And I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of fancy words, right? What the flip does that mean? What I just said, it really means that we focus our energy as human beings more on the worldly matters, the shopping list for the baby shower when we're dealing with a baby. Like, what gifts are we going to get the parents? What doctor's appointments we have to go to in order to get through pregnancy? This is what I mean. We're dealing more and focusing on that, but we're not focusing primarily on the fact that we're actually calling a soul in, not just a vulnerable, helpless, mindless soul, but an evolved being that goes through an entire journey of womb time and even to descend. That's what we're going to talk today about, this conception coming from the dimensions that are higher than us, this source, this one divine cosmos, universe, whatever you want to call it. And you're dropping in to this lower dimension, this lower frequency. And that is the story that has been forgotten. Our ancient civilizations, like, we're starting to uncover a lot of truths now that you can see through Instagram reels, people talking about big shifts in consciousness, like pre and perinatal psychology. There's lots of different groups talking now about this essence of a soul. So why it matters is we're disconnected for the most part. I want to say these are umbrella statements that I'm making, and they certainly don't apply to everyone because there's a number of people who are, they are taking great lengths and always have to bring in the sacredness of birth. But for the majority of people, the energetics of birth, I should say, the field, the quantum physics, are the spiritual aspects we're not connected to. And therefore, we have created a violent world ruled by the vibration of fear versus love, just through our obstetric practices. And I mean, literally what happens in a birthing room and how most people go through birth today. And that setup that we have that's very mechanized and technocratic, lots of tools, doctors, patriarchal power structures. We've forgotten the intuitive divine essence. Because of this, we lower the vibration drastically of the person who's coming in. And that creates a rupture in their being that a lot of people spend their entire lives trying to repair and never even realize that's what they're trying to repair. Some get there, very few do. And I think that that is a great tragedy that we now on this threshold of consciousness and science and what everybody's experiencing in the world, we have the ability as humans to set our frequencies in our bodies to really prepare for souls to not go through such a fall from the state of grace. And most of us, not everybody, but most of us on who's listening into this call has probably heard of the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. This story really is an allegory. Like most origin stories, it's telling a story that's actually present time. Every soul that's coming in lives this experience of the fall from grace, or the story of the Garden of Eden. Because what you're doing is you're moving from this divine state of being, or this oneness, this all, this fabric of quantum, right? That quantum science is now talking about. We're interconnected to everything. But you individuate, you leave that state of being to come into the dualistic reality that we live in, dark. light, night, day, feminine, masculine. And this duality is, it's hard, right? That nature of duality is already hard. But then when you come from this, what people experience with near-death experiences who've passed away and they talk about they see a light or they're in a tunnel and they come back from this experience and they're just so moved. They've had an awakening and they see so much beyond what this physical world is that they spend their lives trying to create great change and to achieve that state again. And that's what I mean. These people who are coming in and experiencing birth are already having to have that drop in consciousness. But yet we're making it even harder by the way we practice birth and the way we don't even view birth as this huge portal for souls. So I'm going to explain a little bit more like later on in the call or maybe even in part two of this episode of practices that we can do to soften this fall from grace, if you will, so that we meet what our mission is here at the Flower of Life, which is to create higher vibrational beings so that the beings coming in can maintain these higher states of consciousness. Imagine a world that could do that, what we could really shift if people could start at these like tremendous levels of consciousness and then go from there. So I want to stay focused because I really want to give everyone a real tangible experience of how birth matters. And we're going to take a story using you, Ovi, hope you don't mind, but you're going to be a demo of how we can really pull out the birth story in present moment with any person that wants to go there. And even as partners, like you don't have to be a therapist or a specialist to do this. In fact, we have this great workshop coming up where we practice what we call the inner child journey, which is, it's an exercise that you can go through simple questions with a partner and it invokes these earliest parts of yourself. Does that make sense? So we're going to do that today. And I just want to give a pause maybe for you to reflect in this moment before I continue on. If I answered your question of why birth matters and anything else you want to know?
I mean, obviously there's so much here. Like we could talk about this for a very long time. And I feel like my question was answered at this point. Like I'm satisfied with that.
Okay. Well, and you know, we don't have to get into the nitty gritty, but we will in other episodes really about the neuroscience, like the hardwiring that happens in the womb and how we can unpack those experiences now in the present and even for experiences for babies, you know, like people who are coming to us and they've had a baby and they're like, we want to do therapy now. We don't want to wait. So we'll go through that more. But I do just want to touch upon this portal. Birth a little bit more before we go into this demo that I have for you, Ovi. And that is to say that you can visit our webpage at theflowerofliffoundation.com. And you can see there that we refer constantly to this sacred design. And what I want to point out to everyone listening in is that this sacred design, or even the glyph, the image of the Flower of Life, you can find on our about page a little video that shows how the Flower of Life is actually pointing to an intelligence, a being, a consciousness that exists far beyond biology. And that this sacred design is encoded not only in our bodies, but also in the very structure of everything that's created in this universe. So that to me blows my mind. If you go to the about page and you watch those videos, you're like, and how you can even see how the human brain is literally the same structure to the same proportions as the stars in the sky. It's like, whoa, that's pretty cool. But we even went so far as to, you know, of course, name our organization after the Flower of Life, which can be found all over these sacred sites throughout the world. It's not one religion or one person or one culture. It is universal. It applies to every, not only human being, but extraterrestrial, like any galactic being. So I think that's really important to point out that even though the symbol holds within it a mathematical blueprint for all life, it's really showing us the embryological stages of human development the pattern of how our cells divide and the energetic grid of consciousness itself. And why that matters is because every single one of us starts out as a single cell. And whatever that energy field is, that single cell developed it, sets the tone for every single cell that divides off of that original cell. So what was the world? What was the energetics of your parents? Or what was your story? Did you come into violence? Did you come into love? Did you, you know, what were all the nuances, infinite dimensions or aspects that influenced who you are? And there's no other person on the world that's like you, that has anything of the same experiences as you. Because we know this because you can be a twin in the womb, identical twin, and completely different personality than your sibling. What is that? So it really speaks to the fact that every single person is very unique and they have a very unique story. However, we've been given a map of how to access this story, a code to decode, if you will. And that's what we're using here at the Flower of Life, in our teachings, when we're helping people really connect to the invisible forces. And this whole purpose of the Flower of Life is that it gives us a key that is an energetic key to unlock a door for you to bridge back to your soul. And it's how we start this path, right, of becoming a caterpillar and transforming into a butterfly. So I just want everyone here to invite in the truth or be curious. You know, if you don't believe that or not, it's like that you could be curious that birth is not just a physiological event, but it's a soulful initiation. And you use that on our first, you know, episode. We talked a little bit about initiation, and initiation is just a starting point that we start a journey. And for us today, that starting point is when our spirit came into be matter, like dense physical form. And that we're going to really explore this portal and whatever your state of consciousness was surrounding that portal for you to ultimately be able to remember knowledge about yourself that has been buried down under lots of conditional forces, experiences that you were subjected to when you came in. Now, Ovi, let's shift a little bit. I want to do something for you and me really quickly, just to kind of illustrate what we're talking about when we speak about energetic fields and what it's like in the body. So I want to invite you and anybody listening in, you know, if you're driving a car, it's okay. You can still do this practice. Just don't close your eyes. So what I want you to do, Ovi, is imagine a scene that brings you a peace of mind, something that just kind of calms your essence. And let me know when you have that scene drawn up. It can be anything. It can be a place, an animal, a thing, person.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what I want you to do is describe it to me.
I'm on a beach and I'm watching the waves and there are dragonflies flying all around me and the sun is setting.
What color is the sky?
Blue and a little bit pink.
Okay. Well, what happens in your body just now? What do you notice after we've, you know, a lot of talking, a lot of information, but you know, you invoke in this vision of the beach and waves, sunset.
I feel just a settling. My whole body feels warm.
And is settling have a direction?
Down.
It is down. Okay. Okay. What do you like about that?
I love how I feel in this moment. I just feel really present and available and receptive. And it feels good. I feel relaxed.
Now, we're able to do this imagination of you having this peaceful state because you are in a place of safety right now. You're in your home. There's no threats. There's, you know, you have time and space and the means. You've had food. You know, you have shelter. You have your basics covered. Now I want you to shift. I want you to imagine a space that you see as chaos or disorder. And it can be anything. It can even be a news, you know, something on the news you saw or something that's happened to you, friend, even just a room. Let me know. You've got it now. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I noticed pretty immediately that my neck just started feeling tense, like on the left side of my neck. It was like I felt like a caving in. Then
what did you see?
What did I see?
Yeah, what's the scene or what's the thing that you've invoked that's chaotic or disorderly?
The scene is a recent interaction that I had with someone where I just felt very alone.
Okay.
And unsafe. Like I knew I was safe, but my body didn't feel safe in the moment.
Yeah, felt like a little bit of an attack.
Yes.
Okay. So did you get angry? Did you get scared? What happened in your body? I mean, you're describing this tightness.
Yeah, my belly just kind of swelled up and just tightened.
Uh-huh.
And because I have tools, I was able to really breathe and find my center, but I could still feel the energy coming towards me. And it didn't feel good.
Yeah. Okay. And I even noticed how you said you could feel the energy coming at you or towards you. So the whole point of this just brief exercise of visualization is that you were able to feel a frequency change.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about the difference in the frequency. And when I mean frequency, you know, when in physics, vibration, frequency are different things, right? But frequency is kind of like the pace of the energy, the light wave, and how fast it's going or how, you know, how slow it's going. For you, what was it like, you know, with the beach? What was that energy like in your body?
Light. Expand.
Light.
Expand the light, filling my whole body and then out, going out.
Yeah, I remember I kind of cut you off, right? It was you were about to say that I'm feeling expansion. Yeah, okay. Now, what about the frequency with this situation with the person that, you know, really upset you?
It was the opposite. It was just very narrow.
Narrow? So it wasn't expanding?
No.
Did it feel heavier or lighter?
Heavier. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. This is good. Because the whole idea right now of, you know, flower of life and these frequencies is that we're light beings at the same time that we are dense beings, right? This is what quantum physics has revealed. We can be light and particle at the same time, but we have to consciously observe this in order for the switch. So the whole point of practices that we teach, you know, through our workshops are how to raise your frequency, how to accelerate your being so you're not so dense and so that you can experience this expansiveness, this connection with consciousness, and that you can open up and feel, I know I'm going to use your words, freedom, abundance, right? Where you feel good.
And we're not bypassing here, because I think that's a really important piece to this, is like we're not bypassing the parts and those defense mechanisms. We're not bypassing those. There's a way of recognizing that those parts are in separation and that through raising our frequency, we are alchemizing them and bringing them into the light.
Very well spoken. True. We're just shifting states. That's all we're doing here, is shifting states through our perception. Okay. I want to invite people to imagine how you know, use this beach setting, and everybody on the call probably, you know, you have your own kind of peace setting that's personal to you. And I want you to imagine what it's like when you walk into a hospital and there's lights overhead that are LEDs there's a lot of equipment. There's noises. There's people. There's even the smell. There's a lot of tools. If anybody's been into a hospital room, we know that there's usually, not all hospital rooms have to have a lot of equipment, but if you go into the ICU or if you go into a birthing room, you're going to see all kinds of gadgets, right? And what does that feel like?
Well, I immediately couldn't breathe. I'm like, oh my God, I can't breathe.
Yet human beings are mammals. And we give birth in the way mammals do. And there's a whole physiology that has to take place for a woman to naturally dilate 10 centimeters. And she's got to be in safety. She's got to be a place where she can drop into a meditative, parasympathetic state of her nervous system. So her whole being can open up and this huge light beam, like literally transcend and pass through her body.
Whoa.
And we're putting it in a scene of a hospital. And anybody who works in a hospital or is a professional in the healthcare system, we can't, like you said, bypass the fact that we have this technology and medicine and knowledge. But what we can do is implement practices that acknowledge how we can incorporate our bridge so that we're not just in this mechanized birthing situation or this hospital setting. How do we transcend those settings to incorporate the fact that we are light spiritual beings? Okay, that's just like one thing I want to set the stage before. So when we orient to our birth story on this call or in any kind of work that we do, we are holding a powerful tool to unlock our highest self and really take the opportunity to throw off conditioned stuff that we took on in order to come into our bodies. Like we took on DNA and we took on hair color, eye color, like skin color, and our parents' stories and our siblings, or, you know, like where we are in the world even, right? That's even everything about what we take on is some sort of limitation in one aspect that condenses you. So what we're trying to do is overcome the psychological aspects that were challenging for us. And whatever those forces were in this kind of what we're talking about, old paradigm thinking, where we come in patriarchal, we come in systems of suppression, we come in systems that are disempowering or telling us what to do that we have no control over. And yet you somehow adapted and you're alive right now and you're here and you made it. And it's like, cool, this is great. But how can you be even better? So we can rebuild our actual nervous system, which is what we, you know, we see now through people like Joe Dispenza or Dr. Bruce Lipton, and but he's like talking about how they've healed their bodies through visualization and clearing their mind and taking on an attitude of gratefulness, right? Positive thinking, heart, brain, you know, connection. We hear about that now. How all these practices can really shift the physiology of your nervous system, your emotions, and your energy. I think it's a really interesting conversation that we're having all of this right now on this brink of AI. And there's like this whole movement towards robots and, I mean, amazing, amazing technology that is on our doorsteps right now that a lot of people are even scared, like what the hell it means, you know, how are we going to survive as humans? What's my job going to be in 10 years? You know, do I have a job? But yet we're still talking about up-leveling. And I want to just say that we can up-level our stories by literally considering our birth and what it is that we have to up-level, right? We have to kind of unpack the subconscious stuff that's hidden inside of us, right? In order to figure out how do we go to up-level. And if you can just up-level the birth experience, then it changes how you listen, how you touch, how you speak, how you hold space. This is what we're talking about on this call. This is how you can reclaim your divine self or reclaim your spiritual self. And I just want to ask you, Obi, do you have friends or people that get kind of nervous and wiggly when they talk about spirituality? Because, I mean, it's kind of a touchy subject.
Absolutely.
And what happens? Like, when you bring up spirituality, I mean, I certainly can't do it with a lot of people.
Well, you know, I think people have their own stories, their own experiences as it relates to spirituality. And for me, what I try and do is just relate spirituality to being in the present moment and coming back to, this is not actually about anything outside of me. This is about accessing a deeper truth within myself. And I notice that when I speak from a grounded place around it, it feels safer for people. I think because of religion and certain quote unquote spiritual practices, we've sort of been taught that spirituality and what we're seeking is like outside of us. And it gets to have all this control and power over us and then take us out of our own selves, which for me, spirituality is about accessing myself. It's about continuing to remember who I am over and over and over and over and over again, every day.
That's such a great explanation. I mean, when I talk to most people about spirituality, it's you know, everybody has their own take on it. And oftentimes, like you said, like people think that spirituality is, well, they're kind of turned off by it.
Yeah.
Because religion has been so oppressive and what we've seen with institutions of religion and what dogma does. And we certainly have not been taught that we can access the divine without some kind of intermediate being or another person who's better than us, who can get to that point because they've trained longer, they know more, they have more experience, or maybe they're more wealthy, or maybe they have more power, or whatever it is, that there's somebody that they have to be something else than what they already are.
Exactly.
And that's what we're here to totally blow the fuck up. Point is, and if you go even on our about page, I love those videos because it's like we are made in the image of whatever this is, consciousness. Every single person is an individual expression of it, and they come in with a different story because of whatever the energies were at that time. So they've been given a very unique portal to express themselves, their divinity, their purpose, and whatever unique frequency they're supposed to do it in. And we have spent lifetimes making people conform to structures and to the same and learning and regurgitating rather than giving them the power to just figure out how to express themselves.
And be free.
And be free. Because when we now know with neuroscience and so much more that if you can be in the frequency of love and heart-brain connection, your brain grows like amazing. It doesn't even need learning. Like you, of course, learn no matter what. But the idea is that you're spontaneously combusting ideas. And you learn because you have mirror neurons in your brain that help you see the outside world so that you can learn how to walk, for instance. You can learn how to talk. You can learn how to write. But that if you're put into an environment of just pure potential and given this, you know, frequency of be yourself, right, that you can become a super genius.
And one of my teachers, he's someone that I've just learned a lot from. His whole thing is non-duality. I would love for us to get into the need for shared reality and attunement, because I think it's such an important piece. Like, what I've heard him share is at a certain point, someone has to start paying attention to you.
Yes.
And then it becomes like a development. Spirituality is a development.
It's a process.
Process.
It's a process of embodiment. coming into your body and then like learning how to return to that, you know, the spirit stuff, the forces, the energy, the like, let's bring in Star Wars, you know, like the force, how you tap into that. But
right. I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, totally. And there's dark side of the force and light side of the force, but they both have to exist, you know, in order for the whole thing to come together anyways. But we've been told that if you do bad things or if you show anger or sadness, like those are negative emotions. But all it is just it's a polarity. But it's a process that you have to go through. And those emotions are okay. They're good for you because they help you grow.
Yes.
Well, do you want to try doing like a little inner child journey? What the workshop that we're offering in April and that we frequently do, because, you know, we're even going to have more segments on our podcast about this inner child journey, but inviting us now to try it out. It's 5 steps. It's easy. It's something you can do on your own. Once you learn the steps, we have an online class for it. And of course, we're doing the workshop where you can get together and learn a little bit more about where spirituality got pushed down and systems. Like there's a whole history of how we got to where we are right now. And it's really fascinating because the more you know about that history, the more you can name things that are happening in your body, right? You want to give it a try?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Where are we going to start? Let's start with first, I just want you to notice like maybe naming a challenging situation that's happened for you at the moment, Ovi. And not this very moment, but maybe in the past week or recently, something that's challenging.
So I have a recent situation coming to mind. And okay. Do you want me to describe?
Sure.
Give you some context. So I was in a dynamic with someone where there was a lot of projection coming towards me. And when I say projection, I mean, I was noticing some shame and some fear being directed towards me. And there was a little bit of gaslighting, just not a whole lot of space for me to be able to communicate like what was going on for me.
Well, so when you said shaming, do you mean like they were being critical of you?
Yes.
Okay. So were you doing a task or was this a conversation or something you were having with somebody or was it more like task oriented?
It was task oriented.
And they weren't approval. They did not approve.
They did not approve and they were very unhappy with anything I said.
And how could you tell they were unhappy?
Because they were questioning me and my motivation, where I was coming from. But not in a place, like not from a place of curiosity. It was more from criticism.
Okay.
Why would you be thinking about this? Like, why would you be doing that?
Okay. So even like a tone with it.
For sure.
Okay.
Like, what's wrong with you?
You're stupid.
Exactly.
Without saying that you're stupid.
Right.
Okay. All right. So just talking about it right now, like what happens in your body? And so this is first step is like we're kind of naming a situation. First and second step, you're noticing inside, like what is happening in your body?
My breath started to become faster. Like I wasn't breathing in a way that I normally would be breathing. I just started feeling tension in my body, in my gut, in my heart.
Yeah. Okay. So that's great.
I wasn't like wanting to make eye contact. I was really wanting to leave. Like I noticed like the flight.
Okay. Yeah, you wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And how would you have wanted them to talk to you just real quick? If you had that, whatever it is that you were presenting or task that you were doing, how would you have wanted them to address even if they didn't like it? Like
totally.
What would have been a better way for you to have received that information?
You know, for me, I think if they had taken accountability for what was happening for them and came from a grounded place of, hey, you know, I'm noticing that this isn't working for me. What would be really supportive is this. Just kind of speaking from accountability, from from herself.
Okay, just to say, oh, I see what you've done here right now. That's not what I was really envisioning.
Totally.
Okay, and now what can we do about it?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, and here's what I was envisioning. But instead, you're saying it was more like, rather than saying any of that and naming it first, it was putting out on you, like, why did you even think this way? And there's something wrong with you that you need to fix inside of you. In fact, I kind of know the situation, but they were pushing you to go through even getting help because they're like interpreting that there's some kind of cognitive situation going on that you can't produce what's in her mind.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And there was no like, we're a team in this. It was like, we're separate and there's no resolution we can find together. And that was a little bit challenging for me. And then, yes, she started to say, you remind me of me when I was this age and how all these things were going on for me. And I was like, whoa, okay. Like, the tools I have were really helpful in that moment, but still there was a lot of tension in my body.
Gotcha. So thank you for sharing. I know it's never fun to like revisit stressful moments.
I can laugh about it now.
Right. And I even have, so one of the things that we use in our class, and we can drop this in the show notes right now, but I'll hold them up. This is the needs list. I use this all the time. It's the emotional needs, not physical needs. Although in this list, there's a category, there's a section that goes over physical needs because we need them. And then all the other categories are emotional needs. And this comes from the New York Center for Nonviolent Communications. And it was started by Marshall Rosenberg. And, you know, it's run now by Tom Bond. Anybody that's listening to this, they also have a free course. It's actually $52 or $50, but they offer it for free if you're not able to pay that. And it's a weekly prompt email that you get. And it's for an entire year. And it helps you name these things that are, you know, emotional needs and understanding what they are so that you can talk to somebody in a way that doesn't trigger them. You talk in a way that you take ownership. And what part of the inner child journey is that you want to name an emotional need from this list. So you kind of review it. And there's 7 categories. And we won't go through all of them here because one of the things that immediately came to mind when you shared this story was that you didn't have a shared reality. And this goes back to the situation you were just talking about a minute ago with your friend who teaches the non-duality. And at some point when we come into this world, we have to be in connection because we go from this unified field of all, and then we come into this individual expression. And the whole way to bridge your spiritual self is to be in connection.
Absolutely.
So you were definitely not in connection with her at that moment. And you had a very different reality for what obviously you made your work or whatever it was, the task. And you then had to deal with somebody poo-pooing on what you did. They didn't like it. So that shared reality, by the way, is, I'm looking in the categories here. This is under the category of connection. And you have spent your lifetime looking for people that kind of resonate with what you enjoy about life.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, maybe even why you came into relationship with this person to begin with was you were seeking to learn something or they had something to share that really resonated with you.
Yes. Or so I thought. And I definitely gained experience.
Good.
A lot.
So. Right. And so you had something to take away. And this isn't to say that we're supposed to have shared reality with everybody. It's just that if you come across in a way that's antagonistic and she's kind of attacking you, that's a whole different ballgame than saying like, oh, I don't agree.
Right.
So this is such a powerful and nuanced question. What you're describing taps into deep layers of how our nervous system is wired for, again, connection, like we said, and relational safety, especially around this emotional need for shared reality, which when missing can become profoundly dysregulating, as you described, because your stomach got all upset, you know, your breathing, you know, got shallow, all these things started happening in your body and you even wanted to get the hell out of there, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I just want to put out there that we all have the need for shared reality. And this is very important at birth, because when we come in from this separating from the all, and now we're here and we're individual, we want to be seen for what we just went through, which in the mythology covers it as like Hercules, the 12 labors. We just mentioned the Garden of Eden earlier. I mean, the Jack and the Beanstalk. I mean, there's so many stories that go into the hero's journey. And we want somebody to celebrate the fact that we are awesome and that we're going through this journey that's really hard. And even just mirroring our experience and saying what you feel is real, like what you did, that's interesting. That doesn't necessarily meet what I needed right now. So let's try to work out what we can do. Cool. All right. Well, in this adulthood that we all are in right now, you're listening, you can agree probably it's nice to be understood. It's really nice to have our actions validated. And operating from a framework that like, oh yeah, I'm doing the best, that I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm doing good. So when you're working under someone who distorts or denies that reality, blaming you or even questioning your competence, like you said, like, why did you think about it that way? What's wrong with you? You remind me of me when I was going through all these challenges, and this is what I want. You probably need help or whatever it was. Now you're being pushed into a double bind in your nervous system. And do you know what a double bind is? Have you heard that term?
Haven't.
We use it a lot in the energetic world. Like a double bind is a rock and a hard place. It's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
That was literally the situation.
Yeah, like there was nothing that you could do. You could sit and just like take the shit, right?
Yeah.
So your double bind is clear. You think in your head that you were doing your job. You're like, or whatever the task is, right? You're like, yes, here's what I did. And then the person now is insisting that you're failing. So you have two choices. You can trust yourself that what you did was good. Maybe it missed the mark, but it was still good. And well, when you do that, you risk conflict and rejection from this person, or you can align with them. But when you align with them and be like, oh, yes, I am stupid, or I don't know why I think like this, and this is just like, help me kind of thing, you then betray yourself.
Totally.
Okay. And so,
yeah.
And what?
And it's an abandonment of self.
Yeah. Like, abandonment of self.
Yeah.
Which people do all the time because they have to.
Yeah.
In order to receive love, in order to, especially as a child, if you're told to shut up or don't show your emotions or your need isn't allowed in this situation, then you have to you have to accept that usually in most cases, because otherwise you don't have the ability to escape or support yourself. And the other thing is like, oh, you don't want the person as your caretaker that you care for. You also don't want them to not love you. So this existential threat is basically what you had take place, even though it wasn't like this person was holding you down or really threatening your life. What happened in your nervous system was an existential threat that you've experienced somehow before. What we're saying in our storyline here is that most people who come in our birth have gone through this existential threat with some kind of story along in their birth where they weren't seen and they weren't attuned to. So now you have activated an old memory that's stored inside of your body. And the essence is like, especially when there's a power imbalance, when somebody has influence over your income or your stability, if you have a domestic partner, or we just mentioned a parent or a work situation, a boss. So what we're here to say, this biological response that you had in your body was real. And it was an intelligent response to this gaslighting you mentioned, this shaming, or not very safe way of communicating. So what you did was actually really intelligent. But did you feel intelligent?
Well, I actually communicated in that moment. I said, you know what? I need to take a pause and I need to step outside and I'll be back. And so I stepped outside and I really just grounded and shook my body and then came back in and then actually was able to make a really clear choice.
Good for you.
I mean, that was really great. In the past, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do that. But I think that's the thing is with this work, when you start to fall in love with yourself and feel that deep connection to your truth and your intuition, because you've been mirrored externally that you are valued and your intuition does matter. And it's the source of so much of who you are and your knowing, that you start to just cultivate this level of self-trust that you just keep coming back to. And I'm really thankful for all of my teachers and the people that have paid attention to me enough to where I am able to have that kind of relationship with myself.
Wow. Because what you basically you just said from the work that you've done and exploring these stories of your experiences, you were able to bridge a relational gap that this person wasn't able to offer you because they weren't coherent and they were dysregulated in their nervous system and not self-aware enough to know that they were out of alignment, but you were able to see it.
And I could even differentiate what was hers from what was mine.
And that's the whole goal of this work, for people to be able to differentiate what it is that's theirs and what is not theirs, and how to be accountable for meeting their own emotional needs.
Amen. Yeah.
And this is important, like, and this is where we'll kind of wrap up, you know, because we did this little demo. We went into the steps of the inner child journey. Wrapping it back into babies, it's important to mention that this happens to babies all the time. Crying, for instance. Let's just use that as an example. A baby cries for sometimes what seems like no reason. And I spend a lot of time educating parents about how babies communicate through their behavior, through their gestures, through their facial expressions. When a baby has been fed, all their physical needs have been met, okay? They've been played with, they've slept, they're not tired, you know, their diapers changed and they've been fed, right? I think I mentioned that. These aspects have been met and yet they're crying. That's when our culture tends to fail to see that babies are communicating their story, their birth story, their journey here, this essence of what hardships they had to go through. And they just want to share it with somebody. And they just want somebody to say, like, God, look at what you've been through, and acknowledge maybe on their body their war wounds from the birth, or acknowledging that C-section, if they had one, was extremely hard and it was a violent way to enter. And that was a dissociative state that they had to come into from their divine essence, right? And we often will hush babies, or like, shh, 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 everything's okay, or put a pacifier. And that's kind of like, I had somebody explain to me one time, one of my teachers, that putting a pacifier in a baby's mouth that's crying, or like putting a nipple in their mouth, right? That's a baby that's fully fed and is satiated. It's like taking you as a human being and you're full, but shoving a sandwich in your mouth. And it's like putting that sandwich in your mouth, so you're going, we're going to talk anymore. Or like, oh, here. But we have constantly started our stories and our early experiences with the schism of shared reality of disconnection. So we're just, same thing with sleep training.
Oh, don't even get
your baby
on sleep training.
And there's a lot of people who practice sleep training, and right now doctors and books that are even written, and like whole protocols to train your baby and zip it up in a suit and let it cry it out, because you're going to spoil it somehow if you hold it too much or tend to its needs. And it's like, wait a second. I even had a midwife right after a birth, you know, say, well, day two, your baby's probably going to start crying a lot. And if it does, just give it a pacifier. And I had to interject. I had to confront the situation. And that's not really how you want to do that with a professional in front of their client. And I was like, oh, actually, you just have to interject here. You know, that's the baby starting to process its birth story. And there's many things you can do. And the midwife was like, well, like what? And I'm like, well, craniosacral therapy, let them show you their birth story and their body. And she was like, what? You know, the baby can process its birth story? It's like, yes, babies have emotions and we can support them in that journey. So it's a lot to unpack and a lot to go through. And we're going to cover in this part 2 of our episode a little bit of why this particular instance that you experience with this person, this existential crisis, really, in the bigger picture, ties into your birth story. As what we talked about in the first episode, we mentioned a little bit about this birthmark that you had, and we want to draw a map to how this particular situation is very linked to that. So I'm looking forward to part two, and I'm also looking forward to inviting people to come to our workshop at the end of April and visiting our website, because we have the details there for you to do more of, or learning more about reclaiming spiritual wisdom and how you can uncover these pieces of yourself. Does that sound good?
Thank you so much. This conversation, so inspiring and exciting. I just can't wait to keep going.
Makes me curious for all the things, like curious. So thanks for listening in, and everyone. And we look forward to tuning in again soon.